own for longer than 10 minutes since he'd volunteered to bind the portal from Kerberos. I was still processing my feelings about it all. And I was so hurt that I didn't even know where to start. Instead, I walked to the buffet and opened one of the silver containers, my stomach growling at the sight and smell of my all-time favorite food, pizza. The pizza's half pepperoni and half pineapple, I said with a smile, since we had an ongoing joke about how I didn't understand how he could possibly enjoy pineapple on pizza. I opened up the other containers, pleased to find more of my favorite foods. Grilled cheese, tacos, mini hamburgers, and macaroni and cheese. There was way more than two people could possibly eat, but I put one of each on my plate and sat down at the table, wanting to try it all.
Do you want red or white? Blake asked from the buffet.
Red or white what? I asked.
Wine.
He smirked.
They've left both options for us. I guess there's no drinking age in the underworld.
I guess not, I agreed. But I've never actually had wine before. The only drinks I've ever had are beer and mixed liquor drinks at parties. And to be honest, I've never liked the taste.
That's because people buy the cheap stuff for parties,
he said.
Not liking that shows you have good taste. But these wines are in a decanter, which aerates the finest wine so they're ready to drink. I think it's safe to assume that the king and queen of the underworld spared no expense.
Which do you prefer? I asked.
For tonight?
His eyes softened, and my heart flip-flopped all the way from my stomach into my throat.
Red. Definitely red.
Okay, I said, my voice catching in my throat. But only a little. I don't want to get drunk.
Witches have a naturally high alcohol tolerance,
he told me.
And you're a demigod. Yours is probably higher than ours. One glass of wine won't get you drunk. It won't even get you tipsy.
I nodded, since I supposed that made sense. Back in Georgia, I'd gone to a few parties where there was alcohol. Some of the girls acted silly after only one beer. They'd claimed it was because of the alcohol, but I could barely feel a thing. So I assumed they were acting drunk to get attention. They convinced me to have one more beer to see if I felt it, and it didn't work. I just felt gross from all the liquid sloshing around in my stomach. That was the end of my adventures with drinking. But at least now I knew that if I enjoyed the wine, one glass wouldn't hurt. Blake brought a plate of food to the table. He'd taken even more than me. And then he went back to pour the wine, bringing back one for each of us. He sat down to join me and raised his glass in the air. I followed his lead and raised mine as well.
To getting an answer from the Oracle tomorrow,
he said, his gaze locked on mine. To getting an answer that we want, I clarified, clinking my glass with his. Then I lifted the glass to my lips and took a small sip, smiling at the burst of flavor on my tongue.
You like it?
He cocked his head to the side, waiting for my answer. Yes. I took a full sip this time to fully enjoy the flavor. I do. It had been nearly an entire day since our last meal, so we dug into our food, barely speaking as we ate. It was the best food I'd ever had. I wondered if Hades and Persephone had hired the best chefs of all time to make it for us. It was possible, since they had every dead person in the world accessible to them. I doubted that any other meal I would have in my life would compare. I came close to finishing everything on my plate, but it was so much food that I eventually dropped the final half of my cheeseburger down in defeat. Blake raised an eyebrow at my nearly empty plate.
I guess you won't have room for dessert?
He asked. No way. I shook my head, scrunching my nose at the thought of fitting any more food into my stomach. But then my thoughts went back to Blake, mainly about what he would have to endure in Kerberos. Because in Kerberos, the food was dangerous. I didn't know what it would do to him,
because Erebus had ensured that we had enough power bars to keep us going through our journey, but I had no doubts that the effects of the food there would be horrible. And Blake would be forced to endure it for all eternity.
What's wrong?
He reached forward to rest his hand on top of mine, but I pulled away, bringing mine back down to my lap. Not because I didn't want to hold his hand. I did, more than I could say. But because I was afraid that if he touched me right now, I wouldn't be able to stop myself from bursting into tears. I didn't want him to see me weak like that. Not when he was being so strong. It's just been a long day, I said, pushing back my chair and standing up. I'm going to go shower. I rushed to the bathroom without waiting for his response, got into the shower, and finally allowed the tears to fall. Chapter 48. I stayed in the shower for a while, crying until my tear ducts were so dried out that crying any more was impossible. I once had a science teacher who said that when people cried, the sadness in our brains was an actual chemical that transferred out of our bodies through our tears. If that were true, crying was supposed to make me feel better. But my heart felt just as crushed as it did before. By coming to the underworld, I was doing everything I could to make it so Blake didn't have to sacrifice himself to Kerberos. But I wouldn't be able to feel better until the Oracle gave us another solution to the challenge ahead. I doubted I would sleep well tonight. But if I tried to fall asleep, then tomorrow, and the answers it would bring, would come faster. So I turned off the water and got out of the shower, hoping I didn't look like a complete wreck after my crying session. I'd bolted to the shower so quickly that I hadn't bothered to take pajamas into the bathroom with me. So I wrapped myself in a towel, brushed out my hair, and walked back into the bedroom. My eyes met Blake's, and I held the towel closer, feeling practically naked there in front of him. I was sure in that moment that he could see straight into my soul, and every inch of my body ached to run up to him and kiss him, and pretend that everything was going to be all right, and that he would be able to live out the rest of his life on Earth. Instead, I just stood there, my gaze locked with his, saying nothing. What could I possibly say that wouldn't result in me breaking down into tears again?
I'm going to jump in the shower too,
he said, finally breaking the silence.
You can get changed while I'm in there.
I nodded, watching him as he walked into the bathroom and closed the door behind him. Once the shower was running, I opened the wardrobe and gasped, because the doors opened to reveal a hidden walk-in closet and dressing room that was nearly the size of my bedroom at home. I stepped in, closed the doors behind me, and perused what was available. There were gowns on the female side and tuxedos on the male side. It looked like a closet for nobility in the time of Victorian England. My appearance today had been the last thing on my mind, but Hades must have thought that Blake and I looked a mess in the throne room in our jeans and t-shirts. I hope it hadn't negatively influenced his decision. I searched my side of the closet for pajamas, finding only a selection of lacy silk or see-through nightgowns. They were nothing like what I normally wore to bed at home, shorts or sweatpants with a tank top. But with no other option, I found a sort of modest black silk one and slipped it on, turning to see how it looked in the full-length mirror. It fell to the top of my thighs, showing more leg than I would ever reveal in public. But at least the material wasn't sheer, so I didn't feel completely exposed. If my eyes didn't feel so puffy from crying, and if they didn't have dark circles under them from exhaustion, I might even think I looked pretty. As it was, I felt like a mess both inside and out. I was so tired that it was tempting to get into bed, bury myself under the comforter, and fall asleep. But I couldn't go to sleep without seeing Blake. Because, as much as I hated to remind myself of it, I didn't know how much time I had left with him. I had to at least talk to him and see if there was anything I could say that would get him to change his mind about his decision. If I didn't say or do everything in my power to try to convince him to change his mind, I would never be able to forgive myself. I wasn't sure what I could say, but I had to try. With nothing else to do but wait, I slipped on a pair of fluffy slippers, picked up my glass of wine, and curled up in the armchair facing the fireplace. Our plates had been cleared, and the food had miraculously disappeared while Blake was in the shower and I was in the closet. All that remained was a decanter of red wine and a selection of cookies, chocolates, and pastries. But I still wasn't hungry, so I sipped my wine, getting lost in my thoughts as I stared into the fire, which was burning smaller and smaller as time passed. Suddenly, the flames flared back to life, so high that they licked the top of the mantle. I turned around and saw Blake standing near the door, a satisfied smirk on his face. He wore black silk pajama pants, but none of the shirts in the wardrobe must have been to his liking, because his top was bare, showing off his tan, chiseled chest. His hair was still wet from the shower. He picked up his glass of wine and sat down in the armchair next to mine. His eyes roamed the length of my body, and heat rose to my cheeks under his gaze.
"I was curious about which nightgown you would choose,"
he said, the light of the flames dancing across his face.
"You look beautiful."
"Thanks." I glanced down at the nightgown again and straightened, feeling less self-conscious about it now. That closet was something else.
"It was."
He nodded, and we sat together in silence for a few seconds, sipping our wine. I stared into my drink, unsure what to say next. There was so much on my mind. Where was I supposed to start?
"I hate this wall between us,"
he finally said, breaking the silence.
"It's been there since we spoke to Nix last night. I know you're not happy about my decision, but I wish you would talk to me about it."
"You volunteered to leave me forever." I snapped my head up to look at him, my eyes hot with tears and anger. "You didn't take time to think about it. You didn't even ask me what I thought about it. Because how am I supposed to get through every day without you, knowing that you're going through hell on the other side of that portal? Or that you could be stuck in the hellish underworld there forever? I don't think I can do it. I know I can't." The tears flowed freely down my cheeks again, and despite my attempts to wipe them away, they wouldn't stop. I didn't think I wanted them to stop.
"Of course you can."
He got up and joined me in my chair, pulling me to his chest and wrapping his arms around me.
"I love you, Nicole,"
he said, his voice full of so much strength and passion that I knew he meant it.
"And it's because I love you that I have to do this. If I don't, then you'll never be safe. No one on Earth will ever be safe. I couldn't live with myself if I let that happen."
"It didn't have to be you." I snuggled closer into him, resting my cheek against his chest. In his arms, I felt so warm and safe. I wished we could stay here in this moment forever. It could have been someone else.
"You mean Danielle?"
He said it as a statement, not a question. "Yeah," I sniffed. "Not that I wanted to be either of you. But you didn't even wait to see what she would say."
"I've known Danielle for my entire life,"
he said, She's smart. She fights for the people she cares for. And she goes for what she wants, no matter what. But she's selfish. She would never volunteer herself. It had to be me. I knew it had to be me the moment Nix told us what we would need to do. And I think, deep down, you know it too.
I don't know.
I shrugged, not wanting to admit it.
But it's not fair. I just got you back. You have no idea what it was like. You were dead, Blake. I saw your body. Your corpse. In that moment, believing I would never be able to see you again, everything in me shattered. But now you're back. You're here. You're alive. And I refuse to believe that I got you back only to lose you again so quickly. The world can't be that cruel.
It might not have to happen that way,
he said.
The Oracle could have the answer.
She might, I said. Or she might not.
If she doesn't, then you'll be gone. Forever. I already had to go through that once. Can't do it again.
Is that why you've been distancing yourself from me this past day?
He asked.
Because you think you're going to lose me again?
Yes. I turned my head up to look at him, gazing into his eyes.
The thought of losing you, of what you're inflicting on yourself by trapping yourself in Kerberos, it absolutely terrifies me.
It scares me too,
he admitted.
But if I don't do it, the world will end because I was too scared to do anything about it. I couldn't live with that. We've risked our own lives enough these past few weeks that you have to understand that, right?
There has to be another way, I said, refusing to answer his question. There just has to.
If there is, we'll do everything in our power to discover it,
he said.
But no matter what, never doubt how much I love you. I came with you down to the underworld to try to find another solution to this problem. I will go with you anywhere if it means we'll have a chance at a future together. No matter what happens, I hope you never forget that.
I love you too.
I trailed my thumb over his cheek, trying to commit every inch of his face to my memory. Knowing that there's still a possibility, a big possibility, that you'll have to make this sacrifice. It hurts more than I can say. But I don't want to distance myself from you. If we only have a limited amount of time left, I want to spend as much of it together as possible.
I know we haven't been together for that long, but we've been through so much that it feels like forever.
His lips were so close to mine now, electricity buzzing between us.
I don't know if I can properly get across how much you mean to me. But we don't know how much time we have left together. So I'm going to try. Because before you, my life was empty and void. I went through the motions, but I wasn't fully there. Then you burst into my life with fire and passion and lit it up in ways I never thought possible. With you, I feel more alive than ever. I've told you a million times, but I'll say it once more. I love you, Nicole. I don't want you to ever doubt that. So tonight, if you're ready, I want us to be together completely. I want to show you how deep my love for you goes. Tears filled my eyes, and I nodded, my heart fuller than it had been in my entire life. "Yes," I said, and I crushed my lips to his, running my fingers up his chest and burying them in his hair. A moan sounded from deep in my throat, and I arched my body up, pushing it hard against his. But it wasn't close enough. Every inch of me pulsed with desire for Blake. I wanted more. I wanted him. And I told him just that. So he picked me up and carried me to the bed. And that night, we loved each other more than we ever had before. Chapter 49. The next morning, a knock on the door jolted me out of my sleep. My eyes opened, and Blake's eyes staring back at me were the first things I saw. I smiled at the memory of last night and snuggled closer into him. We'd been holding each other all night, and I'd never slept better. Being with him, with his arms around me, it just made me feel so safe. The knocking started again, and my cheeks turned red at the realization that neither Blake nor I were wearing any clothes. They'd been removed and flung across the floor pretty quickly last night. But at least whoever was outside the door hadn't taken the liberty of letting themselves in. If they had, they would have seen a lot more than they'd bargained for.
"1 minute,"
Blake yelled to them, and we both scurried around the room, throwing on the clothes we'd worn yesterday. They were rumpled and dirty from the journey to the underworld, but since my only other choices in that closet were barely their nightgowns or fancy dresses, they would have to do. Once we were both dressed, Blake told the person on the other side of the door that they could come in. Persephone glided inside, wearing a long lilac dress that flowed behind her. Her hair was down and in waves. Her cheeks were flushed pink, and her eyes were so bright that she looked like she'd already been awake for hours. "The Oracle warned me not to teleport directly into your room," she said with a knowing smile. "Not that I would have anyway, for privacy's sake."
The Oracle? My jaw dropped open. I was too happy to hear that Persephone had spoken with the Oracle to be embarrassed that she knew what had been going on in the bedroom between Blake and me. "You spoke with her?"
"I have," she nodded. "She's waiting for you in the throne room. And she said not to worry about your apparel. The jeans and t-shirts you're wearing now are perfectly acceptable to her."
But even though it was happy news, I noticed a falter in Persephone's chipper appearance, and sadness passed over her eyes. She covered it up quickly, but now that I was looking closer, I had a gut feeling that something wasn't right. She looked defeated. "What happened?" I asked her. "Why don't you look happy that we get to speak with the Oracle?" I held my breath, bracing myself for the worst. "Is the news bad, but you're not telling us so we can hear it from her ourselves?"
"No, no, nothing of the sort."
She waved away the possibility.
"The Oracle wouldn't say a word about what she knew until the two of you were present."
"What's wrong then?" I asked. "Something changed since last night, I can tell."
"Well, as you know, Hades wasn't thrilled with the idea of bringing the Oracle here to speak with you."
She glanced at the ground, twisting her fingers together.
"He views this allowance as not trusting Nyx, and he doesn't want to offend the primordial deities. But I think the Oracle is the best chance in finding the answer you seek, so I bargained on your behalf."
"What did you bargain?" I asked, my heart dropping at the possibilities.
"Hades has allowed you to speak with the Oracle in exchange to my agreeing to spend 1 extra month with him in the underworld each year."
"What?" My eyes bulged at her confession. But you don't like it down here. Why would you offer to do that?
I am used to it down here, she answered flatly. I was born above, and will always miss Earth and my family there. But as centuries have passed, I've realized that my place is here, as the queen of the underworld. I have more to offer here than I do on Earth. The transition was going to happen sooner or later, and if I could use it as a bargaining chip to benefit the two of you in your quest, then that makes it all the better.
My heart dropped at what she'd given up, but it was already done. And knowing what I did about bargains and oaths made by gods, there would be no taking it back. Thank you. I bowed my head to her, wanting her to know that her sacrifice was appreciated. I will not forget what you've done for us today.
I only hope that the Oracle has the information you seek.
She held her hands out, motioning for us to take them.
Come. We shall not keep her waiting any longer.
Blake and I took her hands, and I closed my eyes, warmth filling my body as Persephone transported us to the Oracle. Chapter 50. We appeared at the base of the steps in the throne room. Hades sat upon his throne, and Persephone walked up to take her seat beside him. In between them was a woman wearing a simple gray habit, with a matching hood that hid her hair and eyes. She looked like a nun. All I could see of her was the bottom of her face, her nose and mouth.
The two of you have a question you wish to ask me?
She faced our direction and pressed her palms together, although with her eyes covered, there was no way she could see us.
You are the Oracle, Blake said, clearing his throat. Surely you already know what we want to ask.
I glared at him, resisting the urge to elbow him in the side for being snarky to the Oracle.
Clever, she chuckled,
and I relaxed, glad she wasn't offended.
I suppose it might have been funny the first time I heard it thousands of years ago, although with so many visions of the future swarming my mind, it gets rather difficult to recall the past.
She stopped laughing and stood straighter, turning serious again.
Of course, I do know what you wish to know. But I ask you to pose the question to me, because there are many ways that a person can word their desires. Oftentimes, one does not understand exactly what he or she truly wants until the words are spoken out loud.
Okay. I stared straight up at her, even though it was impossible to see her eyes. Is there another way to seal the portal to Kerberos that doesn't involve anyone sacrificing themselves and getting stuck there? She remained standing there with her hands pressed together, silent. I could barely breathe. I could barely think. Whatever she said would let me know if I had a future with Blake or not. The anxiety made me dizzy, and I reached for Blake's hand, steadying myself the moment his fingers wrapped around mine. We were a team. We were stronger together. We loved and supported each other, and there was nothing we couldn't face. I glanced at Hades and Persephone to see if this pause was normal for the Oracle. They were calm and composed, so I had to assume that it was. Finally, the Oracle lifted the hood off her face, revealing empty white eyes. The places where her irises and pupils should have been were blank, murky, blind. I swallowed down a shudder, not wanting to offend her in case she could see me. From the way she looked straight at us, it seemed like she could. But the emptiness in her gaze said otherwise.
Seek alternative answers, all you wish, but I will tell you the truth right here. There is no other way to close the portal, she said, her voice low and hypnotizing. The way Nix instructed you is correct, and it is the only way to ensure that the Titans don't return to ravage the Earth. You must seal the portal in this manner, or else the Titans will return, and everything on Earth and in the underworld will be destroyed.
The floor felt like it dropped out from under me. The only reason I remained standing was because Blake was still holding my hand in his. If his hand left mine, I would surely fall over. No, I rasped. That can't be true. There has to be another way. There has to be. I glanced up at Blake, desperate for him to have some sort of solution. But he looked just as crushed as I felt.
I'm sorry,
the Oracle said.
There is no other way.
And with those few words, any last sliver of hope I had was lost.
Chapter 51. The Oracle was correct that I would seek other answers. For the next 2 months, that was all the group of us focused on. Not only did we want to find another solution, but having a goal helped keep our minds off of the deaths of Chris and Hypatia. We spoke to every head elder, read through as many books as we could in the New Alexandrian Library, and even spoke with a few gods. But the answers were all the same. There was only one way to close that portal, and it involved either Blake or Danielle sacrificing themselves to Kerberos. I felt like I was living in a fog. Every day that passed was one day closer to the day that I would lose Blake, forever. But despite the Oracle's words, I pressed on, refusing to give up until time ran out. I'd even tried, multiple times, to speak with Danielle. But talking to her was like talking to a brick wall. She just sat there and listened to my pleas, saying nothing. I wasn't even sure if she was hearing what I was saying, and I certainly wasn't getting through to her. Unfortunately, I couldn't blame her for shutting me out. I was basically asking her to die instead of Blake. It wasn't right or fair, but I couldn't help it. I had to try. I even tried to appeal to the love that she might still have for Blake. After all, they did date for months before I entered the picture. But still, nothing. I had no idea what was going through her mind, and any attempt to find out got me no results. Eventually, I stopped speaking with her altogether, instead spending my time with Blake and Kate as we continued to search for another answer. We'd basically moved into the library by now. It was easier to sleep here than to bother a head elder to create a portal for us every time we wanted to go back home. I spent every night with Blake, the two of us growing closer every day. And every day, my heart hurt more and more, knowing that I might lose him. But I refused to push him away again. If these were my final weeks with him, I didn't want us to be parted for a single second. Now we were all sitting around a table in the library, each of us reading a different ancient scroll. We could understand the ones in Greek, thanks to the blood of our Greek god ancestors that ran through our veins, but the ones in other languages were gibberish to us. So we were hoping that we could find something in one of the Greek scrolls. As for Danielle, we had no idea where she was. She'd been disappearing a lot recently. She would never tell us where she went, except to let us know that she was working on figuring out a solution too. I wasn't sure if she was being honest, but I didn't push her. since I didn't have it in me to speak with her any more than necessary. But as hard as we tried, and we did stay awake for countless hours each night trying, we knew deep in our hearts that it was hopeless. The Oracle couldn't be wrong. Still, at least researching gave us something to do, and a bit of hope. Hope was the only thing keeping me going right now. We were buried in scrolls when our phones all buzzed. A group text from Jason. More monsters escaped Kerberos, creating a portal for you in the front of the library. We dropped the scrolls, grabbed our weapons, and raced to the front of the library. Danielle came flying in through the back entrance a second later to join us, the golden sword in hand. She must have been doing something outside. Training, perhaps? There was no point in asking, since she was barely honest with us about anything anymore. Seconds later, a portal appeared in the middle of the foyer, and we hurried through without hesitation. I traveled through so many portals that led to different spots on Earth that I was used to the temporary darkness and the feeling of the ground disappearing from under my feet. My stomach flipped, and then I was standing on solid ground, staring straight at the entrance to the cave, as a herd of centaurs stampeded out of it. There were so many of them that the sound of their hooves hitting the ground was deafening. It was already harder than usual to see because it was nighttime, but a cloud of dirt rose up from behind them, making it nearly impossible to make them out. I coughed as I breathed in the dirt, trying to keep my eyes open despite the pain. There were too many of them to count. But all I knew was that there was way more of them than there were of us. And like most of the monsters who'd been escaping recently, the centaurs were strong enough to get past the witch's barrier. We simply didn't have the numbers or the power to keep these stronger creatures contained. Kate cleared away the dirt with her power, and I strung my bow, shooting arrow after arrow at the centaurs. Blake shot fire at them, and Danielle shot icicles. But there were too many of them, and they were running too fast for us to get them all. If we charged at them, we would surely be trampled. Kate even created a sinkhole in the ground, which consumed the centaurs near the back of the pack. But too many of the centaurs had already crossed the street into the town, out of range of the sinkhole. We continued shooting at them. I shot until running out of arrows, but it was no use. Like many of the creatures who had escaped these past few weeks, the centaurs weren't interested in fighting back. They were trying to run away, and we didn't have the speed to keep up with them. The echoing of hooves faded, and I lowered my weapon in defeat. After that loss, more monsters were out in the human world. Every day that the portal remained opened, it was getting weaker, allowing stronger monsters to escape. This was the highest number of them that had gotten through yet.
"Maybe we should seal the portal now and get it over with,"
Blake said, his eyes empty as he stared at the entrance to the cave. "No," I shook my head, standing my ground. "We still have a month until the solstice. We have time to figure out another way."
"I agree with Nicole," Danielle said, surprising me. "After all of this is over, we can go out into the world and hunt down the monsters that escaped. Right now, we need as much time as possible to figure out another solution for closing the portal."
"The Oracle's already spoken,"
Blake reminded us.
"We know there's not another way, which is why our research is leading to nothing."
"It's true that the Oracle's already spoken, so I don't know what more we'll be able to find,"
Kate said, and my heart dropped at how melancholy she sounded.
"But I agree with Nicole and Danielle. Blake, we won't let you do this until we've run out of time and explored every possible option. Chris always told us that we're a team, and he's right. We have to do everything in our power to keep each other safe."
And so, with a vote of 3-1, Blake conceded and Jason created another portal for us, back to the library to continue our research. Chapter 52. We were buried in the scrolls the next morning when a portal appeared in the front of the library. I glanced at my phone, but there was no text from Jason. What was going on? He always texted us when he created a portal for us to fight monsters that escaped Kerberos. I didn't have time to voice my question before someone stepped through the portal. The new head elder of Greece himself. He was Hypatia's cousin, and his name was Kostas. We'd met him at her funeral, and later when we questioned the head elders to see what they knew about sealing the portal. Like the others, he knew nothing. 11 more people followed him, Jason included, until we were staring at the 12 most powerful head elders in the world. Finally, Darius stepped through the portal, a sorrowful look in his eyes as it closed behind him. Dread pulsed through my body. I had no idea what was happening, but the look in Darius's eyes warned me that we wouldn't like it. What's going on? I stood up and walked over to join them in the atrium. Cade and Blake followed my lead. The sun shined down through the window in the center of the circular ceiling, and I soaked in its rays, taking strength in the light. What are you all doing here?
We need to have a meeting with you.
Kostas sized us up, his voice booming through the library.
Where's the water elemental?
I'm right here.
Danielle appeared on the balcony, her eyes fierce with determination. I had no idea how she'd heard anything from the study rooms. They were soundproof, but she somehow knew to come out here. She walked down the steps, not faltering in the slightest, and joined us to face the elders.
Very well,
Kostas nodded.
I'm not sure how long this will take, so the four of you are free to sit down.
Thanks, but I prefer to stand,
Blake said, not budging from his spot. I followed his lead, as did Kate and Danielle. If the head elders wanted to meet with us, it would be as equals. They could only intimidate us if we let them, and I refused to let them.
As you wish,
Kostas said.
In that case, we'll proceed.
You're the one who came here unannounced and declared this meeting.
Blake motioned to Kostas, his gaze strong and unwavering.
The floor's all yours.
Kostas narrowed his eyes at Blake, his lips pressed into a firm line.
As you're aware, dozens of centaurs escaped from Kerberos last night.
He began.
You were unable to stop them. And that's on top of all the other creatures that have managed to escape these past few weeks, while the four of you have been ceaselessly trying to discover an alternative way to seal the portal. However, after what happened last night, it's time to face the hard truth. Both Nyx and the Oracle have confirmed that the only way to seal the portal is for either Blake or Danielle to bind it from the Kerberos side. The longer we wait, the more monsters will escape. You need to close the portal now, and seal off Kerberos from Earth forever. It's the only way to keep our world safe. The other head elders and I met last night, and they agree with me. Which is why we're all here, right now.
I stood completely still, the blood draining from my face. Knowing that I would likely lose Blake made my heart hurt more than I could say. I'd been trying to prepare myself for the inevitable, but we were still supposed to have a few weeks together. Those few weeks would give us a chance to figure out another solution. I wasn't ready for this now. He couldn't make us do this now. Blake stepped forward, his gaze strong and steady.
I agree with you,
he told Kostas. And I sucked in a deep breath, my heart dropping at his words.
We'll close the portal tonight. I'll be the one to bind it from the Kerberos side.
No, I said, my voice rising in panic. We can't. Not tonight. We're not ready yet. We need more time. I stared at him,
my eyes begging for him to take it back. But he refused to even look at me.
Blake's right.
Danielle stepped up to stand next to him, her head held high.
Except he's not going to be the one to bind the portal from the Kerberos side.
Really?
Costas raised an eyebrow.
Why is that?
Because it's going to be me.
Chapter 53. What? I blinked, unable to believe what she'd said. You're volunteering?
Where's this coming from? Kate asked.
No.
Blake shook his head.
What are you thinking? You can't do that to yourself.
She can't do it to herself, but you're allowed to do it to yourself? I glared at him, but he just clenched his jaw, saying nothing more.
I know you're all probably confused.
Danielle held her hands up, silencing us.
So instead of bombarding me with questions, let me explain.
Go ahead.
Costas nodded for her to continue. Danielle turned around to face all of us, confident and resolved.
I'm sure it hasn't gone unnoticed that for these past few weeks, I've been spending time elsewhere.
She started, and I nodded, since of course we'd all noticed that she'd been distancing herself from the group.
I also hope that you all noticed that while I didn't volunteer until now, I also never refused to be the one to bind the portal from the Kerberos side either.
I said nothing, since I hadn't noticed that. Not volunteering meant she wasn't volunteering. At least, that's what I thought it meant.
Yes, Kate said, surprising me. I noticed that.
Thank you, Danielle said to her, appreciation shining in her eyes.
Before I tell you where I've been and who I've been spending that time with, you should know that before coming to a decision, I thought out the practical reasons about who should bind the portal from Kerberos. One reason stood out the most. The fact that Blake can make weapons. He's just starting to discover what he can create. Since we've been too distracted with our missions for him to truly see what he can do. But I read the instruction book he received from Nyx in our first treasure hunt around town. It's impressive. Soon he'll be able to create powerful, magical weapons. You're going to need those weapons to defeat the monsters that have escaped Kerberos these past few weeks. And as much as I hate to admit it, that makes me more dispensable than him.
You're not dispensable,
Blake insisted.
None of us are.
Thank you, she said, and her eyes glimmered with tears. But you're needed here. And I also know that when I'm in Kerberos, I won't be alone. I'll be protected.
What do you mean? I asked.
Who have you been spending all of that time with recently?
Blake narrowed his eyes at Danielle, and I knew him well enough to tell that he suspected what her answer would be.
Erebus.
She glanced down at the floor, her cheeks flushing red.
I don't know if you noticed that when we were in Kerberos, Erebus and I really connected.
I noticed, I told her. It was impossible not to, but I didn't think. I paused, figuring out how to word this without being offensive. He's a primordial deity. You're immortal. I thought that once we left Kerberos, that would be it.
You thought he would forget about me.
Danielle said it as a fact, not a question. No, I said, although that wasn't completely true. So I shrugged. I don't know.
Well, he didn't forget about me, she said. He tried to, but he couldn't.
I guess you know this because he told you? Kate asked.
I didn't see him again until right after Nicole and Blake got back from the underworld,
she continued.
He visited me that night, and he told me that despite trying to forget about me, he couldn't do it. He asked me where I wanted to go most in the world, and I told him Paris. So he took me to the top of the Eiffel Tower. We talked for a while, and then I told him I was thinking of making the sacrifice to Kerberos. Ever since then, he's been taking me everywhere I want to go, so that in case I do make the sacrifice, I'm able to see the world first.
Wow, I said. That explains why you've been gone so much, and how you always appear when we need you. Because Erebus knows when we need you, and he brings you back, doesn't he?
Yes, she said. I know this is sudden to you all, but I love Erebus, and he loves me. He promised me that if I do end up in Kerberos, he'll stay there with me. He'll keep me protected. He'll even work with me to try to find a way back to Earth. I also won't age while in Kerberos, so we'll be able to search for a long time.
I stared at her, taking this all in. I couldn't believe it. Danielle was actually volunteering. Despite our differences, I didn't like the idea of any of us being stuck in that hell dimension. But Erebus was a primordial deity. He would keep her safe. If there was a way back to Earth, surely he would be able to find it. And as selfish as I felt for thinking it, I was relieved that Blake didn't have to be the one to close the portal from Kerberos. I wouldn't have to lose him. We would truly have a chance of a future together.
Have you truly thought this through?
Blake asked Danielle.
You realize that this means you'll never see your family again.
I have, she nodded, her eyes sad. As I'm sure you did too. Leaving my family isn't something I want to do, but if one of us doesn't do this, our families won't be alive for much longer anyway. So really, I'll be saving them. I've already written them all letters explaining what I did for them to read after I leave. They're in my desk in my room.
I'll make sure the letters get to them, Kate said. I promise.
That's if Danielle does this, and not me, Blake said. We both volunteered. We still haven't decided which one of us is going.
Blake.
Danielle said his name softly, focusing only on him.
Even though we're not together anymore, I still love you. I'm not in love with you like I am with Erebus, but you're a huge part of my life, and I care about you. In Kerberos, I'll have the protection of a primordial deity who loves me. I'll survive there. You won't. If you do this, it'll be a death sentence. I won't allow that to happen to you.
You don't know that,
he said, his eyes dark and fiery. You already died there once, I reminded him, my throat tightening at the memory. You weren't in Kerberos for long. You don't really know what it's like. We can't use our powers there. You would be a human in a world full of gods and monsters. Yes, you're strong and you're brave, but you're not more powerful than the gods. None of us are.
And all of those gods and monsters will want to kill you for closing the portal and barring them from Earth forever, Kate added. It'll be impossible for you to survive that.
Exactly, Danielle said. But as a primordial deity, Erebus is stronger than all of those gods and monsters in Kerberos. I'll be safe with him by my side. He was trying hard not to interfere when he was guiding us through the realms there. But Nicole, you saw how he obliterated that dragon. You know he's more than capable of protecting me.
He is, I said, since everything she was saying made sense. Blake had to see it. I looked over at him to see if he agreed, but he was studying Danielle, as if he was trying to get a read on her. He was staring at her like he didn't know her anymore.
I don't like the idea of you going in there any more than you like the idea of me going in there,
he told her.
And I do trust that Erebus will be able to protect you. But once you're in Kerberos, there's no coming back. So you need to be absolutely sure about this. If you have even a sliver of doubt, it's okay. I'll do it. I've been preparing myself for this since the night we spoke with Nyx. I'm ready.
I reached for his hand and squeezed it, aware that despite his brave words, we all knew that Danielle's reasoning made sense. Still, I admired that he was giving her the chance to change her mind. Knowing that he was the type of person to do that cemented my love and respect for him even more.
There's no changing my mind. I'm going to bind the portal from Kerberos.
Danielle looked each of us in the eye, confident and determined, and then turned to face the head elders.
And I'm ready to do it right now.
Chapter 54. The head elders wanted to join us for the ceremony, but we insisted they didn't, since it would be an intense and emotional experience for all of us. After a lot of bickering, they eventually gave in and returned to their homes with the expectation that we would tell them once the portal was sealed, so they could go there and verify that it had been done. After they left, Jason created a portal to the cave. And Danielle, Kate, Blake, Darius, and I all stepped through. We hadn't actually been inside of the cave in weeks, and I was surprised to find that the portal to Kerberos looked different. It was clear enough that we could see through to the other side. When we first saw it months ago, and even up to the time of the equinox, it was dark and muddy. Since then, it had been thinning, and it showed in the way it looked, too.
Are you sure you're ready for this? Darius asked Danielle.
I'm as ready as I'll ever be, she said, although she stared at the portal with fear in her eyes. The head elders were clear. We need to close the portal now to keep more monsters from escaping. And even though this isn't easy for me,
I agree with them. Okay, I said. As long as it's what you want to do.
It is, she nodded. Erebus is there on the other end. He wants to make sure I bind the portal on my own free will, so he's waiting to join me until it's complete. Once it is, he'll stay by my side. Forever.
From the way he looked at you when we were in Kerberos, I know he will. Then I did something that I never imagined I would do in a million years. I stepped up to Danielle and hugged her. She was surprised at first, but she returned the hug. Thank you for doing this, I said, pulling away. Because of you, the world will be safe from the Titans. None of us will forget about your sacrifice here today.
Wow. Danielle said, managing a small smirk. From the way you're acting, I might even think that you'll miss me.
I will, I told her. Because crazily enough, after all this time we were forced to spend together, I think we actually became friends.
I never would have thought it possible when you first moved here, but I guess we did become friends, didn't we?
We shared a smile. And then I nodded and stepped aside so the others could say their goodbyes. Kate gave her a hug next.
We've lived in the same town for all our lives, and while I never thought we had anything in common,
I was wrong, she said to Danielle.
I'm glad we were forced to work together so we could get to know each other. Throughout everything, you've held our group together through your strength and determination. You're one of the smartest people I know. And if there's a way back to Earth from Kerberos, once the portal is sealed, you and Erebus will find it.
Coming from a descendant of Athena, that means a lot,
Danielle said.
It's true, Kate said. And Nicole's right. None of us will forget your sacrifice today. And when you and Erebus make it back, no matter if it takes 1 year or 1,000 years, I'll be here waiting for you. Thank you, she said. And then she turned to Blake, her eyes brimming with sadness.
I guess this is it, isn't it?
She asked with a shrug.
If you've changed your mind and want me to do this, it's okay,
he told her.
I still will.
No, she shook her head. Thank you for the offer, but I think we all know that I'm the one who has to do this. I'm glad to do it, so I can keep all of you and the rest of the world safe. As strange as it sounds, doing this feels right. I think it's always been my destiny.
He nodded and moved to join me, reaching for my hand and giving it a small squeeze. That one motion meant everything to me, because he was here with me, and we would be by each other's sides for the rest of our lives. The portal to Kerberos might be closing, but together, we could make sure that all of the creatures that escaped were sent back to Tartarus, where they belonged.
Okay.
Danielle took a deep breath and turned to face the portal.
I'm ready to get this over with.
Chapter 55. Instead of elongating the process further, Danielle glanced back at us one last time, and then she stepped through the portal. Since the portal was transparent, we saw her appear on the other side. She took a second to get her bearings, and then she turned around, facing us. Her hair blew behind her, and she stared out at us, her eyes gleaming with determination. Despite her courage, I couldn't imagine how terrified she must feel. Her mouth opened. She was trying to say something to us, but it was impossible to hear her through the portal. I pointed to my ear and shook my head, and she nodded in understanding. Instead of trying to speak, she stepped forward and hovered her hand along her side of the portal. Once it was there, she pointed to Blake, and he stepped forward and did the same. She counted to three on her other hand, and then the portal glimmered with color. Red on Blake's side, and blue on Danielle's. It glowed brighter and brighter. And then, just as quickly as it had lit up, the colors disappeared. Danielle raised her hands and reached for the portal, but they pressed up against it, as if it were a glass wall. She must have been trying to see if Nyx was wrong, to see if she could come back to Earth after completing the binding. But it didn't work. She was trapped, her hands pressed flat against the surface, staring out at us in despair. Should I wait to seal the portal? I asked the others. It looks like she wants to come back. If I wait, the binding will fade and she'll be able to return. No one answered. I guess they felt as confused as I did. Because even though I wanted to wait and let Danielle back through, I knew in my heart that there was no other way to close the portal. I'd known that since the Oracle had told us in the underworld, although I hadn't wanted to admit it to myself then. This was our only option. If Danielle came back, we would have to go through all of this again sometime before the summer solstice, and it wouldn't be any easier the second time. But before I sealed the portal, I needed one last thing to happen. Finally, a shadow appeared behind Danielle, solidifying to take the form of a god I recognized well. Erebus. He was dressed like he'd been when he guided us through Kerberos. Dark jeans and a black t-shirt. He placed a hand on Danielle's shoulder, and she spun around, throwing herself into his arms and burying her head into his chest. He held her tightly
and then he pulled her away to look into her eyes. He said something to her. We couldn't hear what he said, since the portal blocked all sound. And then he lowered his lips to hers in a long, sensual kiss. Being together seemed to come naturally to them, as if they'd done this many times before. But eventually they broke apart, and Erebus reached for Danielle's hand, as if letting us know he was there for her. Her eyes met mine, and she nodded. Even though she couldn't speak to me, I knew what she was saying. It was time for me to seal the portal to Kerberos. I stepped forward and placed my hand on the portal. It was warm, as if it still burned with Blake's fiery red energy. It was crazy to think that once I did this, we would be free of the threat of Kerberos forever. That everything we'd fought for these past few months would be over. But I was thinking too much. I knew what needed to be done. I just needed to do it. So I closed my eyes and focused on white energy. It was everywhere around me, and as always, it came to me easily, filling my body with its warmth and comfort. At the same time as I gathered the energy, I sent it out of my palm and into the portal. The portal grew hotter and hotter under my skin, but it didn't burn me. Instead, it called for me, asking for more. It was soaking in the white energy as if it were the most natural thing in the world. And I called forth more of it into my body, allowing it to flow through me and into the portal. Heat radiated against my face, and even though my eyes were closed, I knew the portal was glowing with my bright white energy. Suddenly, the portal zapped me, and I yanked my hand back, yelping and opening my eyes. I stepped back in shock, because the portal was gone. Only the cave wall remained. What happened? I asked, resting my hand back on the same spot I'd been touching before. It was rocky and cold, as if nothing else had ever existed here at all.
You did it.
Blake stepped up behind me, placed his hand over mine, and drew my palm off the wall.
You sealed the portal to Kerberos.
Epilogue. Kate. 3 months later. I stared up at the arched entrance to the Emerson Abbott Academy, amazed by how far we'd come these past few months. With the blacksmith god Hephaestus's help, we'd built the new Alexandrian library into a boarding school for demigods and witches. Now, here it stood. The dorms, classrooms, auditorium, and training grounds, hidden in the Virginian mountains, and ready for students to arrive next week. The buildings were inspired by the architecture of ancient Greece, making them look like they'd been plucked from the past. Qualified witches had been brought in as teachers. Darius had been appointed headmaster, and I'd finally realized where I belonged in the pantheon of the gods. As the goddess of witches and demigods. I would be the patron goddess of the school, dedicating my immortal life to the education of young witches and demigods. After all, with so many escaped monsters roaming the world, it was more important than ever for the demigods who had recently come into their powers to be located, and for them and the witches to be trained for the dangers to come. I walked through the archway and spotted Helios trimming the bushes along the sidewalk. He was doing a surprisingly good job, but I waved a hand in the air, using my power to cause the bush behind him to grow into an absolute mess. "Great job, Helios," I called out to him. "But don't forget the bush behind you. I think you missed it the first time around." He turned around, spotted the overgrown bush, and mumbled incoherently. I just smiled and continued on my way. True to the promise of the gods, Helios had been returned to us as a powerless human after we'd sealed the portal to Kerberos. He now worked under our command as the janitor of the school. I opened the doors to the main building, amazed that in only a week, students would be entering these halls for the first time. In the center of the lobby were podiums holding the two statues that Blake, Nicole, and I had decided to erect. One of Danielle Emerson, and the other of Chris Abbott. Danielle stood fierce and proud, a replica of the golden sword gleaming in her hand. She'd taken the real sword with her to Kerberos. Chris's hands were raised, his hair and clothes blowing around him, as if he were using his power over the air. He was smiling, looking as happy and carefree as ever. I brushed my fingers across the nameplate on his podium, my eyes filling with tears. Not a day had passed when I didn't miss him so much that it hurt. At least I knew that his soul was safe in Elysium. But as an immortal, I would never see him again, since I would never go to the underworld myself. All I could hope was that as time passed, the pain of his loss would fade, until I could look back on our time together and feel only happiness and appreciation that we'd had time together at all. But for now, staring at his statue for too long hurt. So I glanced up at a beautiful mural that had just been completed on the ceiling. In it, Hypatia rode the back of a dragon, surrounded by all the dragons that had helped us in our fight against Typhon. She, like Danielle and Chris, would never be forgotten here. The dragon's loyalty wouldn't be forgotten either. After starting to build the school, we'd been thrilled to discover that their deaths didn't mean the extinction of their race. There was a community of dragons that hadn't been banished to Kerberos after the Second Rebellion, who had been living on Earth alongside humans for centuries. Dragons had the ability to sense the magic in others, so they could find and locate demigods and witches. Per our command, Helios had called upon the last living dragons in the world and requested that they work with us to seek out missing demigods. We told them our mission, and they were happy to help. Because our mission was important. All over the world were demigods like Nicole, Ethan, and Rachel, who had only recently come into their powers. They didn't understand who they were or what they could do. If they were coerced to the side of darkness, like Ethan had been, they could cause great destruction. It was vital that we found them and made sure that didn't happen. Also, monsters could sense their magic, and if those monsters found them first, they attacked to kill. So it was now our job to travel the world, find the demigods and witches, and bring them here so they could be safe while learning about their heritages and abilities alongside others like themselves. Well, it wasn't my job. It was Nicole and Blake's. They'd been having the summer of their lives, riding the backs of dragons on the search for hidden demigods. Or demigods on the run because they were afraid of what they could do with their powers, like the first two they'd found. Sydney, a daughter of Aphrodite, and Garrett, a son of Hermes. They, along with a few others, were already situated in their dorms and had started their training. Nicole and Blake weren't going to be happy when school began and they would be forced into classrooms again. After all, they still needed to keep up with their regular education. But it was part of my job to ensure that all of the demigods and witches at this school received a proper human education along with their magical training. Just because Nicole and Blake had powers over the elements and had helped stop the war against the Titans didn't mean they could be excused from school forever. Some of the adult demigods could take over their job during the week, and I would allow them to fly off in search of lost demigods on the weekends. Because truth be told, those two thrived on adventure. It was where they excelled, and it was where they felt alive. It wouldn't be fair to keep them grounded all the time. I, on the other hand, was glad to have found a home at the place where I was the happiest. Here at school. And not just at any school, but the school that I founded. The Emerson Abbott Academy for Demigods and Witches.
This has been The Elementals Complete Series, written by Michelle Maddow, narrated by Caitlin Kelly. Copyright 2017, Michelle Maddow. Production copyright 2018, Michelle Maddow.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.